How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. It's Monday on the show. I think it's Monday. And no, we got a lot to talk about over the weekend. I'll just get it out right here at the beginning of the show. My wife is on a solo camping trip whale watching. So I am here at home alone with the children, which means as a result of these Dave shows, I go to bed at 2 and I get up at 6 for the next 3 days. So if you're expecting competency and such on 4 hours of sleep a night, think again. So anyway, that should be really fun and exciting, huh? Well, we got news. John Laurinaitis appears to have been fired. We got Ric Flair speaking on his last match. We got injuries to WWE female wrestlers. They're wrestlers again at house shows over the weekend. And of course, we've got Monday Night Raw tonight. We got a lineup for the show, and we'll tell you about it. And you know what? It ain't going to be ripped up, torn up, shredded before the show goes on the air, because that bloke's gone. So this lineup I read you, it's actually going to happen. It's a new era. And, of course, we had a lot of shows this weekend. I watched a couple of matches from the G1. Not nearly enough, apparently. I've got AEW Rampage. AEW Battle of the Belts. I have got SmackDown. We have the return of Karrion Kross and Scarlett. And a lot more. So there's no shortage of things to talk about here today. And I guess we got Mike here to try to fill in the blanks. Right? And he better have slept. So anyway, if you want to text us, 425-780-7566 is the phone number, 425-780-7566. Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Thanks, Dom. Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Poor DJ Convoy. He's got PTSD, the Vince McMahon era of WWE. Hey, listen, brother, I do too, but you know what? It's over. It's gone. It's done. I have to still answer the phone these days, despite my PTSD of Tim Flowers calling me for years. But it's done. He doesn't call me anymore. Got to get over it at some point. So I realize that there have not been sweeping changes yet, but you know what? Let's see what happens on this Raw show here tonight. Because I see things that apparently nobody else sees. I don't get it. But that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to watch the shows if you don't want to. But Raw is tonight, and this is the lineup for the show. Bobby Lashley versus Ciampa for the U.S. title. You know what I'd do if I were Hunter? I'd make Ciampa the champion. And listen, I'm a big fan of Bobby Lashley. And these fans love Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley is super over. But you got to send a message. You got to send a message that you're going to be making some changes right here. And this is nothing. This change has nothing to do with Lashley. This change has to do with Ciampa. The fact that Ciampa got brought up and was at best a manager type that did matches here and there. And remember the first time he came up and they just never did anything with him? And I think that, you know what they could do? You know what I'd do if I were Triple H? You know what I'd do, Mike? I'll tell you. This damn show's in Cleveland tonight. If I were Triple H, Johnny Gargano comes back and helps his old friend Ciampa win that title. And then you're telling people that things are different. You're bringing back that small guy that never had a chance on the main roster. Johnny Gargano under Vince never had a chance on the main roster. But man, you know who pushed that guy to the moon? Hunter. And if you want to let people know that things have changed, that's a good way to do it. We have the the women's tag team title tournament beginning. You know what
hold
I do?
On.
If, you know what? Hold on. Let me just get through this. Because you know what I'd do if I were Hunter? You
know
what
I'd
do?
But it's a bit.
It's not a bit. I would do this women's tag team tournament. I don't care who wins. Although if it were me, it would be Asuka and Kairi Sane. But that's beside the point. And they would
Kairi Sane.
You heard me. You heard me. And oh, you want? Are you not paying attention to Twitter? Well, Asuka said, I'd like to win those tag team titles, but where's my partner? And you know who responded? Kairi Sane. So anyway, I would have whoever wins, it doesn't matter. But then, at the Clash at the Castle, in front of 70,000 people, and by the way, that is also on AEW All Out weekend, so you're really sending a message that weekend. That's the return of Sasha and Naomi, and they issue a challenge to the new champions at that gigantic show. That's what I do. And then we have Rey Mysterio and Finn Balor. And you know what I'd do if I were Hunter in that situation? I'd have Finn Balor win when Dominic turns on Rey, and that's when this crew tells him, you know what? You're egotistical father. That guy, you know, he's Rey Mysterio Jr. Well, you know what? You're an actual junior of Rey Mysterio, unlike Rey Mysterio, who Rey Mysterio Sr. was his uncle, not his dad. So your dad never gifted you the mask. So we're going to gift you a mask. And they have a badass mask for this guy. You put a mask on Dominic, you turn him heel. He's part of this crew. That's what I'd do if I were Hunter. But you know what? I'm not. So we'll see what they do on Raw tonight. What do you think?
How do you live with your omniscience? Seriously.
Hey, listen, it's hard.
It's a burden.
Let me tell
it?
You. Oh, God. You don't even know.
Here's a little bit of an issue that I would point out about having Johnny Gargano come out and help Ciampa win the title, because it's not that I'm necessarily against that, because it would make for a hell of a moment. We've seen favorites like Dakota Kai come back. We've seen Io Sky come back when it looked like she would be back on her way to Japan. So you never know what you can see in this new Triple H administration, but would that not put Johnny Gargano directly in the camp of The Miz? And can you imagine the way Candace and well, obviously you're going to have some sort of awkward moment with Austin Theory, of course, but can you imagine those three alongside The Miz and Maurice nonstop?
Well, here's
Why
the difference.
Why are you doing this?
Here's the
Why
difference.
Why are you doing this,
Because,
Brian?
Listen, Hunter's not the one that put Ciampa as a heel with The Miz. So the point is, this guy, it's time for a clean slate. Why is Ciampa a heel with The Miz? Whose dumb idea was that? So it's a great way you can split them off. They can be baby faces.
Wearing,
they can be a tag team.
Wearing bright colors at that. Wearing bright colors at that, Tommaso Ciampa. But
bro, there's a lot of things I'd change about this company if I actually were in charge. And a lot of it has to do with whose cast is what.
Here's the thing about Tommaso Ciampa is, I don't need to see him main event WrestleMania. What I need to see is layers of a mid-card, including people who actually have some credibility. So when you defeat them on the way up or on the way down, whatever, you know, something actually matters there. And I think that's a great spot for Ciampa. And that's what I was thinking. And I would love to see him win the U.S. title. But I will say this, if Gargano comes back, to me, you can have a situation where Lashley wins by DQ or whatever it is, holds onto the title, because, look, with all due respect, Gargano and Ciampa are not spring chickens. They have been banged up nonstop. Johnny Gargano is a very young man who's had a very old back for quite some time. I don't know if I would rather see them in the tag team ranks, and obviously they still have to pull their weight there, but at least they would be tagging in and out, and maybe that would actually extend them a little bit. I don't know if that's the worst idea, but I kind of like that. If you don't want to take the title off of Lashley and you're going to bring Gargano back, make them a group away from The Miz and just have them be them.
You know, you could have Johnny Ciampa lose, so he doesn't end up with the title, and then Miz in Theory stomp a mud hole in Ciampa. Yeah. Turning him babyface, and then Gargano comes out to make the save. And it's not my number one match for a first feud with those guys, but you could do Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus The Miz in Theory. Gets Theory out of the title picture, gives these two guys a match. I mean, listen, I'm not the biggest fan of The Miz, and Austin Theory has not blown me away in the ring of late, but he ain't having a bad match with Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. It ain't happening.
Nope. Especially not Ciampa. No way.
Gargano, both of them. Dude.
Well, I mean, you could at least say there's some rust on Gargano. Again, I mean, I'm not expecting him to walk back in there and be perfect or anything like that, but Ciampa's been humming right now. So, yeah, obviously with him, it's not going to be any question. And again, I see him, regardless of what happens with Gargano, you know, I still see Ciampa as, if anybody's going to have a longer-term stay there, I'd bet a dollar on him.
And then everyone's mad at me for the idea that I suggested, you know, can someone hire this Takeshita here in this company, AEW? I mentioned WWE, and here comes the PTSD again. Listen, I watched the same stuff you guys watched, but you know what else I watched? I watched NXT when Triple H was in charge. And don't even tell me he did a bad job with Kyrie. Tell me that he did a bad job with any of those guys. I mean, it became a disaster.
Kenta, timeout. Let's see how they started with Kenta. Remember that whole deal with the Ascension? Look.
Well, Kenta had an issue in that he hurt people early. He beat the crap out of him, and nobody really wanted to do anything with the guy. That was an issue.
So did Saray. I mean, that's what you get when you get these guys. You expect them to come over and just be something that they're not. So then they go and they thump somebody who's got very little experience in the, you know, the NXT Performance Center. You know, I mean, again, obviously you don't want to hurt anybody, and I don't think he ever had the intention to. But I mean, again, like they sign people and it's like, what did you expect them to be? What did you expect them to do? You know what I mean? It just didn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense to me. Never did, never will. And Kushida didn't. They didn't have things on all the right cylinders with him there. And I'm not saying it was terrible, but it wasn't. It certainly wasn't to the level it could have been.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And a lot of stubborn people in the chat. That's fine. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. It's been known from day one it was not going to be a total 180 in the first 2 weeks. It's going to be a while. But there are already positive changes, and there will be more. And you know one of the biggest positive changes is? We haven't had one match advertised that didn't take place since it started. Because nobody's coming in to tear everything up. They advertise stuff, and they deliver it. And I don't know about the rest of you, but did you guys watch SmackDown? There are guys doing stuff that I haven't seen them do since they were on the Indies. It looks to me like there's more freedom being given to guys in matches as opposed to back in the day where you did a move that Vince didn't like or get and you didn't want to see that move. And I saw some stuff on that SmackDown show. I mean, there were good matches on SmackDown. And we'll see what happens tonight, but you're welcome to have PTSD, but guy's gone, dude. He's gone. He's gone. I don't want to hear this. Oh, well, maybe he's still... He's not. He's gone.
When do you think Donovan Dijak comes back?
Oh, he's all salivating. He can't wait.
He makes sense. You know, Karrion Kross is interesting because, you know, it's been said with him, it was said in NXT, big fish, small pond. You know, how much of a pose he struck in wherever it was, Lucha Underground or Bloodsport or wherever else he would appear. You know, he really was a little bit larger than life, but in NXT, he didn't really have that aura, and they tried with him. He looked the part. He had the entrance and all that stuff, but once you got by that, it was like, well, the work, they got so used to the work the fans did. They've been so conditioned to that, they didn't really like him. Then he goes up to the main roster, and they give him that hideous outfit and the whole deal and take Scarlett away and take everything away that makes him special. Now we'll see how special he really is because he's got his shot. Drew McIntyre is a really great bar to see if you can pass because if you can't get it with him, you ain't going to get it with Roman. And maybe you still get a match with Roman and you lose, but no, we don't have time for that. There are other people out there that are looking to grab that ring, that brass ring, but, you know, the Dijaks. of the world who have, you know, disappeared for a while and could come back with some force, or somebody up from NXT or something like that. You know, I don't know how much rope Cross is going to have, but it's show and prove now or never.
John Laurinaitis appears to be gone, according to PW Insider. The report said the dismissal was, quote, for obvious reasons.
Get out of here.
And kept quiet outside a very small circle of people in the know. Which is funny. Why wouldn't you make that public? Like, why would this have to be a secret that almost nobody knew about?
Because
they should be making that very public.
Well, see, I could see that just by quietly getting rid of him and that's it, and waiting for the media to catch up to it instead of issuing the press release, which shines a light back on it again.
I mean, they certainly made a really big deal out of Vince getting future endeavored.
Well, they didn't really have much of a choice when it came to Vince. And look, John Laurinaitis is going to continue to be in stories, and I can see other stories in the future saying John Laurinaitis was quietly released by the company, and people pointing right back to it saying he was quietly released. So I think I know what they're doing from a tactical standpoint, but I don't think ultimately it's really going to matter once we actually get more stories and real sports and all that stuff.
Ric Flair talked about his last match. He said he was very happy with it and also said he didn't remember most of it.
That's why he was so happy with it.
Bro.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what do you expect the guy to say?
Can you cue up, hey, Dom, can you cue up Charles Mingus's The Clown? It may go on for a little bit too long, but same vibes.
Here's the thing. We should all celebrate that he was happy with it.
Sure.
Because now he doesn't have to do another one.
Yeah,
if he was sad with it, he would want to do it again. Oh, my foot. Oh, I should have eaten that day. Oh, I maybe shouldn't have drank so much whenever. So I think that it's good that he liked it.
Whenever. He had those Michelob Ultras in his hand that he was, you know, being pictured with all weekend long. So again, thinning out your blood even more for all the problems he had is something else. And to see him down in Puerto Rico with Carlos Colon was certainly something else too.
Carmelo and Tatum Paxley suffered injuries on WWE house shows. Apparently, Corey Graves did a very angry tweet. He was very upset that he heard about his wife being injured on Twitter before. And listen,
off Twitter and call your wife.
Well, here's
the
deal.
Dork.
Here's the deal.
And I like Corey Graves.
I would be very upset if my wife got injured. But this is not like when you get fired and you read about it on Twitter before anybody calls you. If there's a fan in the front row with their phone open, and all of a sudden, you know, Carmella goes down and they get her out of there and they take her to the back, like, of course the fan's going to tweet about it. Of course it'll be on Twitter before anybody alerts Corey. So I don't know what he was so mad about. I mean,
it's not
like WWE announced she was injured and nobody told him about it. When you have fans with phones at ringside, it will be on Twitter before anywhere else. So
or on IG. Isn't that the whole point of Twitter and Instagram, but especially Twitter, is to be able to break news quickly? And obviously that's a problem in and of itself, but it's to be able to have that first moment and reaction. And I understand him being a little stung that to find that out on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, that would be jarring. I would want to find out first from a phone call. But for him to lash out, it's like, that's like Triple H to me, and I could be wrong because emotion could be playing a part in it, but it's like the people that get upset over like Triple H casting out his line and going, yeah, you know, Vince took it out of the smoke-filled rooms, you know, just to get a reaction, because he knows that's not true. He knows that's complete silliness and nonsense. The Boston Garden, where he was close to, certainly was not a smoke-filled dingy hall, unless you were from Los Angeles playing there. But you know, to me, that's kind of the same thing. What are you lashing out about? What are you doing besides trying to draw attention to yourself for some reason over something so trivial and stupid?
This person says, if Bianca and Carmella bumped heads, why did Carmella only get concussed? Well, first off, that's not what happened. But if it was what happened, everybody is different. I mean, look at Shibata. When Shibata did that that headbutt that literally nearly ended his life, Okada wasn't concussed. It was just, that's what happened on that day. But what happened was, Bianca was on the middle rope, and she was going to do the backflip over. And she was doing the backflip. Carmella just, like, ran headfirst into her ass and went down. And then, actually, I got to give credit to Bianca, because she does the flip, And they're immediately supposed to do a spot with Carmella. But Carmella just drops and rolls out of the ring. And Bianca stopped, looked at her, boom, went right back to doing the spot with, I think it was Asuka on the top rope. Like, didn't even miss a beat. So that's good, because sometimes, you know, she hasn't been doing this that long. And sometimes when something goes wrong in a planned spot, like the entire match falls apart. Bianca was just, boom, right back doing whatever she was supposed to do. And then apparently with Tatum Paxley, and I don't even know how this happens, she got booted in the head, and then her face hit the ring post.
Yeah, well.
Bro, what was the planned idea here? Sometimes I hear these spots, and I'm like, what were you trying?
Maybe she was really inspired by Dr. Death Steve Williams, who got 108 stitches in his eye, slamming it into the ring post. Look, just being wrong place, wrong positioning. I mean, I'll let Lance and you talk about that, but taking a boot to the outside, trip, lose your balance a little bit.
Well, that I can understand. I'm wondering if it was a spot where the person's head is against the post, and the other person kicks the head, and you're supposed to do a work kick so their head doesn't actually hit the post.
I don't know what happened. That's the thing. Hold on, though. If that would be the case, and that's always certainly possible, doesn't that then fall on the agent to go with
Paxley
and whoever it is she's wrestling shouldn't be doing that?
Yeah, but you know what? None of these agents have told Lash Legend to stop doing that basketball spot between the top and the middle rope, because that's one of the worst spots I've ever seen, and nobody has told her to quit doing it. It looks horrible. Sometimes I feel that's my job, even though no one listens to me. I have to be the guy that tells the Lash Legend of this world, that doesn't look great. It doesn't look good. Stop! Because a lot of these NIL blokes and blokettes, you know, they came from outside of wrestling. They came from the real world of sports. And so you know what happens when they go in there and they have bad matches?
What's that?
They go to the back and the agents kiss their ass. That's the last thing they need. They need a more politically correct Rip Rogers back there to tell people what they need to hear, which is that basketball spot. Stop. Don't do it. It looks horrible.
How would Rip Rogers say that, Brian?
I can't talk like that on the air. Are you kidding me?
Do it. Do. How would Tiffany Stratton cut these people down to size? Do it in her voice.
And no, listen, it's not bullying Lash Legend.
Huh.
Isn't that the point of learning how to wrestle and having an agent and whatever? To tell you, that looks good, that doesn't look good. Why do you even have an agent, or why do you even teach them? Just let them go do whatever they want.
Was it Grayson Waller? Who was doing the high angle powerbomb that they stopped doing? No, it was Duke Hudson, right? He's not still doing that high angle powerbomb where it looks like he's killing somebody because he's slamming them down top speed?
I haven't seen that in a while, but I'd put a stop to that move, too.
But that's like Lash. It's like, well, you're picking on Lash. It's like, no, there's another example of
I'm
that.
I'm not picking on her. I'm picking on whoever isn't telling her to stop
exactly.
doing that.
Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't do it.
We had a lot of shows this weekend.
There were.
Shall I discuss them after the break?
A few of them, sure.
We had Rampage, Battle of the Belts, and SmackDown, which a lot happened on them shows. We'll talk about it after the break. Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. All right, let's get through this thing here pretty quick. So first we had a Rampage, which had Jon Moxley beating Mance Warner, old Mancer, live on national television. And man, they gave him a lot. Moxley gave that dude a lot. But then he beat the stuffing out of him and gave him the standing choke, and he was dead. And so it's Moxley, Chris Jericho at Quake of the Lake coming up on Wednesday. We had a quick Takeshita squash over Ryan Nemeth, which was to set up the match at Battle of the Belts, but was actually taped after Battle of the Belts. That was interesting. Madison Rayne beat Layla Gray. This match was way too long. And I don't know. I was not impressed at all with this match. And then afterwards, they set up Madison Rayne live against Jade Cargill on Wednesday for the TNT title. So hopefully it's good. Then we had Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus Tony Nese and Josh Woods in a Friday night street fight. Does anybody know if the titles were on the line in this match? My God. I've heard it's like 50-50 people that it's like, oh no, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no, ha! It doesn't matter anyway because the champions won. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland defeated them. And a street fight that had tables and chairs and all sorts of the usual street fight stuff, but was still less violent than John Moxley's match with Ole Mancer, which was a straight wrestling match. But anyway, it was good, and they got to do all their stuff, and finally Nice got stomped by old Strickland for the pin. Once again, the show was good. I do not expect it to do a good number. You had a Moxley match, but it was against a guy nobody had ever seen before. The women's match was too long. The main event was good, but, you know, I don't think anybody thought that, title match or not, Josh Woods and Tony Nese had any chance of winning. So I liked it, but it's still the same issue we've been having with Rampage. And then, of course, we had Battle of the Belts, which was awesome. Wardlow beat Jay Lethal. Very good match. Jay Lethal had a great match with this guy. And Wardlow beat him with a powerbomb. And then they did the angle afterwards where Dutt and Satnam Singh helped triple team Wardlow. And Satnam stepped on his chest. And Wardlow tried the, you know, the close grip bench press escape. And he almost got it. But then he was pummeled again. And it looks like they're setting up Wardlow versus Satnam Singh in a singles match for the TNT title. Which, I mean, I could talk about it later, but I wouldn't do that one right now. And if I did, believe it or not, I would book a rare DQ. But we can get into that later. Thunder Rosa beat Jamie Hayter. I thought this was a good match, very good match. And Jamie Hayter did a great job, and she is the toughest. She is so tough. You know who else is tough, by the way, is Britt Baker. You know how many times Britt Baker has been injured in matches, and she just barrels on through? And then she had that broken wrist that she wrestled on for like 8 months and it never healed. She just kept going out there and defending the title with that big old thing on her wrist. Well, Jamie Hayter here, she gets a brain buster. Or she gave the brain buster. She gives Thunder Rosa a brain buster. Thunder Rosa's knee just drives her nose. It goes right into her nose and her nose didn't even bleed. Her nose just went over here. It's displaced the entire match. Then Thunder Rosa does a flip dive off the apron, lands on her head. So that's two. And Jamie Hayter, she just bowled on through this match. And Thunder Rosa got the win. It was a good match. Very good match. And then the main event was absolutely fantastic. Claudio and Takeshita. I mean, Dave actually said on the show, like, if you want to give it 5 stars, go for it. Was that good? And it was. It's Takeshita. They need to do something. I don't know what title he's got to win. They got like 300 of them. But he's got to win one of them here soon. And Claudio's awesome, and he's just getting to be Claudio after 8 years of being, what was the name, Cesaro? Yes. He's much better as Claudio. I don't know if you've noticed or not. But anyway, he ran wild, and they did this just every big spot they've got, Ricola bomb finish. This match was awesome. And then finally, Ricochet, Happy Corbin. They got 12 minutes. Ricochet won with the Shooting Star Press after there was some distraction. Corbin got distracted by McAfee, so I guess we're going to continue that feud. But Ricochet got the win with his move, and again, he did stuff he does not normally do as the main roster Ricochet, so that was cool. We had Nakamura beating Ludwig Kaiser. Ludwig Kaiser also doing stuff we've never seen him do on the main roster. Nakamura beat him clean, so he's going to get a match with Gunther next week for the U.S. title. We'll talk about the Liv Morgan segment at the end. But then we had a gauntlet match. And, you know, they're all into this women's division. But this gauntlet match was not good. Sonya Deville beats Aliyah, 2 minutes. Raquel beats Sonya, 2 minutes. Raquel beats Shotzi, 1 minute. Raquel beats Xia Li, 2 minutes. Raquel beats Natty, 2 minutes. And then Shayna comes out. Raquel's tired. Shayna beats her clean with a roll-up in 3 minutes. So it'll be Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan for the title at the Clash at the Castle. The Viking Raiders, who I don't think they ever referred to as the new vicious Viking Raiders, thank God. They're now just the Viking Raiders. They destroyed Tommy Gibson and Jim Mulkey.
Jim Mulkey.
Oh, I loved it. It was great. Then Kofi came out and beat him up with a kendo stick, so they did Kofi versus Eric. Kofi beat him clean, And, you know, there was a lot of crowd swinging on this show, but this crowd was super into Kofi Kingston. You could see him standing and jumping up and down, so they liked this guy. And then the main event was Roman Reigns' Drew McIntyre segment, where we saw the return of Karrion Kross, who attacked Drew McIntyre and beat him up. Reigns just watched. Scarlett was there with her her hourglass and the clock thing. And they had a big brawl there at the end of the show.
Isn't that the hourglass?
Oh, Mike.
What'd she bring out, a sundial?
But anyway,
what did I miss?
I thought the show, there were obviously two problems on the show. A lot of people didn't like the return of Karrion Kross. But if you didn't like Karrion Kross in NXT, fine, okay? If you're judging this on the main roster of Karrion Kross when Vince brought him up and had him lose to Jeff Hardy and then just like he was just nothing, don't judge it on that. I'll give the guy some time here as a Triple H version of Karrion Kross. But I will admit that I was stunned that he was brought back and added to this particular feud here. But obviously, the other thing we got to talk about is Liv Morgan. And
we do?
Yes. Liv Morgan, she was so over. She was so over. This is a kind of a weird story. Everybody wanted her to win that title. And she ends up winning Money in the Bank, and the place was just, they were so happy. And then she went on and she won the women's title, and people were over the moon, okay? Now, Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch is, 99%, that's the main event, the women's main event of probably one of the two nights of WrestleMania. So eventually Ronda Rousey's got to get that belt back. And I think that probably the plan was that Ronda was going to beat her and win the title back at SummerSlam. But Liv was so over that me and you and I think everybody else advocated, you know, she should hold this for a while before she loses it. But they booked this match with Ronda Rousey. And so, I don't know whose idea the finish was. If you want to just automatically blame it on Triple H, you can. But, you know, Vince was around until the week before SummerSlam. And I'm sure that they talked to Ronda Rousey prior to Vince leaving. And they probably had to come up with a finish that Ronda was cool with. And this is what they came up with. So I'm not saying 100% this finish was Vince's idea. But I think there's a decent chance that this was an idea under Vince to protect Ronda Rousey and give Liv Morgan another win, which they thought, oh man, everybody's going to be so happy. She's still champion. Well, the way they did it, she comes out on the show and she's immediately booed. And then she's all flustered. And she's so flustered that she drops an S-bomb on national television. And then she actually says, yeah, I tapped, but I tapped after I thought it had been a three count. And everyone's like, oh, they totally turned on her. And so she's just being booed out of the building. And then they sent out Sonya to try and get heat, which she did. But and then Liv's got to sit there at ringside for this whole match. And it's like, what? This finish was a disaster. Like, whoever came up with it, it was a disaster. And they've totally turned Liv Morgan. They turned the fans on Liv Morgan. They hate her now. And, you know, maybe it was one night in one building. Maybe she'll come out, you know, next week and be cheered or whatever. But, man, that finish did her no favors. And she was super over until they did that. So, that's the show. Any thoughts on any of them?
Well, they spent all that time undercutting what the fans wanted and what the fans saw in her. Because they had to tell their story about the plucky loser underdog. How many times did she lose to Bianca? How many times did she lose to Becky? How many times did she lose to Carmella? Yeah, I lost, but I'm going to fight back and win because it works sometimes. They do it all the time. Sometimes people like winners, like Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and Bianca Belair and dominant champions who go out there and win, who don't cry, who don't have a bunch of excuses. And they kept going with that to the point where it still seemed like she'd be able to get over the hump. And look, that was just one crowd on Friday night. You never know what could happen. Ronda's out of the picture. Shane is coming in. It's going to be extra healed up, so maybe this is much ado about nothing. But if it is the start of something, it's certainly something that was done by their own hand.
The PTSD is strong.
Oh, boy, what's going on over there?
God, everyone's just like, oh, you keep telling me it's better, but that Liv Morgan segment. It's like, yeah, one segment on a two-hour show. That doesn't... One bad segment on a two-hour show does not mean that it is as bad as it was with Vince. It is objectively much better now. But no, it's not perfect. And you know what? I really liked Rampage, but that women's match was not good. That doesn't mean Rampage is a bad show. Like... You're going to find bad things on Dynamite. You're going to find bad things in New Japan. Bro, I watched Fale and Tom. It was bad. Although, you know what? It's better than I expected. That doesn't mean that this G1 is terrible. It means there was something bad in the G1. You're going to see bad things on every wrestling show. There's no show that's perfect. The show is much better now. NXT is much better. But yes, hey. When I review it, there's stuff on the show that's still bad. That doesn't mean the whole show is as bad as it was in October. I get that it sucked under Vince. I get that. Dude, my life has been shortened having to review those Raws. I'll probably die 10 years earlier than I was supposed to. But I'm telling you, it's better now. There's still problems. And there's still going to be a shaky camera. But dude... It's better. Raw is better, and SmackDown is better, and NXT is better. And there's going to be a bad segment here and there. It doesn't mean the show is overall bad. That would be like me saying, you know, women's match on Rampage? Didn't like it. Rampage sucked. It didn't! It was a bad match on an overall good show. If there had been a let's say that the Thunder Rosa match with Jamie Hayter had sucked, okay? I'm not going to come on here and tell you that Battle of the Belt sucked. It would still have been a great show, even though there was something bad on it. I'm getting PTSD from this. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Having a discussion in the chat. Yes, they screwed up Liv Morgan. Okay, she got booed on, so far, by the way, a show. I don't know if she's going to be booed on Friday. I don't know if they're going to turn her heel. I don't know what they're going to do. It was one show. And they're like, what other company screws up their... Well, Sammy Guevara. Do you guys remember the build to that mixed tag with Sammy and Ty and Dan Lambert's crew? That was a month or more. That went on forever. Where it was like, is this person a babyface? Heel? This person's getting cheered? Lambert's getting cheered? Now Lambert's getting booed? Sammy's supposed to be a babyface? He's getting... Dude!
And you know what, Brian?
They turned on Ruby Soho!
There you go. Even that's a
one
bad
one show, by the way.
Even that's a bad... The Cody thing, that... Sammy
Cody!
Sammy taking the place of Cody, though. Like, okay, I give you that one, but like... Has Thunder Rosa's booking and the scenario she's been put in since she won the title with Nyla Rose the next night, I love cake, all that nonsense, has it been the best? I mean, you can look at a lot of stories, a lot of things, a lot of individuals that sometimes it doesn't work. And I'm not, look, WWE is not absolved of all their sins of the past, but we can at least look at this objectively and take any positives, no matter if they're baby steps or not, and they're going to be, as positives. Either side, that's all I can ask for to make a more coherent, better show, especially on Monday when I have to dedicate 3 hours to it. That's all I'm asking.
I'm excited for tonight and tomorrow for NXT 2.0. And, of course, for Dynamite, it's Quake at the Lake, brother. You know what happens when you have a quake at a lake? A tsunami of action. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm out of here. I'm out of here for 2 more days of 4 hours a night.
We'll
talk to you next time. Wrestling Observer Live.
All right, you guys are clear.